Hi, Grant.
Hey, Eddie.
It's great to be back in the studio again. Hi to all the gents. Today we're talking about a big topic, Grant, that's really at the core of us as being men. I think, and that's, you know, being present and winning at home, and not just winning at work, but, you know, also leading spiritually as a man. You know, I think a lot of the times, you know, we've been taught to sometimes abdicate some of those things, and we forget what's important and also what's God's order for us to lead in.
Big topic.
And it's massive. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, hopefully today we can unpack some of that a little bit in the time we have together.
Yeah. Yeah, Eddie, from my side, it's great being here and obviously talking about this topic, but it is really big because we as men are set up to go out and work. And I think it's culturally set up that way, that we would be the providers and go and engage in the area of business and even sport.
Yeah.
Passionate about that and to win. And then it's also embedded in us to win at life.
Yeah.
And that's good. But we can win in those areas, but we get back home. And then we feel that we're set up for failure. And so today we're just opening the topic. Yeah. Of saying, what is God's heart for us? Do not just feel that, you know, we must win at work, but we can't win at home.
That's very true. And so I think, to start it off, Gron, I think we always have to start at what the Word says to us. So, you know, the first scripture I want to read to us is in Deuteronomy 6, verse 67. And it says, these commandments are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children and talk to them when you sit at home. And that just talks about spiritual leadership. And it talks about that presence of being present at home. Because we are essentially the ones that are called with our wives to bring God's governance into our house, the truth, and not our opinion, and to lead and to bring our children up in the ways of the Lord. But I think, you know, culture has slipped in so many times somewhere that we kind of brush over, or especially for me, for example, and I don't know if you experience the same, because I work at a church. I don't want my kids to be pastor's kids.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't want to throw them with the Bible and scripture, but you want to impart into them, but you also want to allow them to find Jesus for themselves. But I realized that if you don't nudge them a bit and lead them in it, then they're not going to go anywhere.
No, listen, we're talking about leadership.
Yeah.
We're talking about spiritual leadership.
True.
And from what baseline do we lead as men?
Exactly.
And yes, if you are blessed to have a family, I think it's such a blessing to have a family, to have a wife and to have children. And God wants us to, in a loving way, look at our family. So Ephesians 5 verse 25, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. So in that there is a laying down process and foundation. And that's sacrificial leadership. It is not domination. It's not me walking into my house and say, well, I'm now the leader of my house, and my life actually is not representative of what Christ has for his church. And then I try and be this uber leader in my household, but I don't come in with a sacrificial heart and mindset into that space.
But just a question on that, Grant. I think a lot of men have grown up in houses where dad has exercised domination, and, you know, almost at an abusive level. You know, what is it? What does one have to do to undo that? Because that's a generational thing that gets passed down.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think some of us really would love to change that. in our hearts. And I mean, I don't know if we always have the answer for that, but I think it's become such a big thing. And sometimes we find ourselves in a situation and go, oh, I'm just like my dad then, you know? And it's like, I need to change.
Well, Eddie, you're going there. So firstly, allow the Holy Spirit to show you the blind spot. Or if we are big on relationship in this church. So if God shows you through a relationship that, listen, you grant, in this area in your life, I can see that you are now reacting out of a space where there might be trauma, there might be hurt. And let's just pray together as friends about this.
Yeah.
And I will only go there with someone if there's a relationship. I won't just walk into anyone's house and just say, this is what I identify, unless they allow me to go there.
Exactly.
And if they allow me to go there, I'm going to go there.
And see, and that's such a good example of allowing yourself to be discipled in an area where you know you're lacking.
Yeah.
You know, that's so good. But, you know, the opposite of that is, and I think this is on every dad's heart, is Joshua 24:15, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And that speaks about just that intentional leadership. It's like, we will. It's like, I don't care what the soul says. We are spiritful, loving Jesus, and we are going to serve God. And that just brings clarity and such a conviction.
Can I ask you something then?
Yes.
Where did that thought drop for you? Where did you realize, listen here, Eddie, you have to step up?
Yeah, Grant, there's so many moments. But I realize sometimes, I think where I've had the most chaotic moments in my household. And I had moments where my boys were out of control, my wife was doing this, everybody was just scattered, is probably a good way. And I just thought to myself, I was sitting at, I was on lunch one night, and I was looking out of the window, and I thought, you know, we were going through processes here where allowing God's covenants to come into our space here at the office, but also just being convicted to say, but where am I allowing God's covenants to come into my home? And so I sat everybody down that evening, and I said to my family, guys, we need to understand we love Jesus and we're going to serve him. But that entails the following. This behavior that's been displayed is no longer acceptable in the house. If I do it, I will repent. If you do it, you will repent. That's going to be the value now. And then we will walk it through together. Mm. But there's certain things that will no longer be acceptable. And suddenly, the change came. Because there's now clarity, there's a boundary, and there's intentionality. And the focus,
that's so good,
is not to be perfect. The focus is to be more like Jesus.
It's brilliant.
So do we get it right? Absolutely not. But I think the intention and the conviction is there in our hearts.
Awesome. So let's start there. Why is it so hard for men to be present at home? Mm-hmm. I think you opened the topic beautifully now.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a practicality. For me, if I look at my household and personally, because we equate provision to presence. I would walk into the house and think, well, I'm present because I worked. And I walk into the house with, well, I gave my best today at my workspace. And so we equate that presence with provision. And it just naturally, it's maybe how our makeup works, but it is important for us to recognize that that is not who we should be at home. And we cannot equate our provision to presence. Eddie, I don't know how you feel about that.
Yeah, I think providing is a big thing for us as men. And sometimes we think it is us showing up. I think it's sometimes when I go out in the morning and I'm like, Lord, this is my faith at work, you know, where I'm getting up, I'm going to go to work. I'm going to go and provide for my family. You've called me to do this. And this is, and I also sometimes have this thought in my mind, this is me loving my family. And then when I am so spent at the end of the day and I get home, like I always joke, and it's a big joke in my house, like if whenever they come home, like, oh, dad's probably asleep again, you know, because I'm so tired. I just want to lie down for like half an hour when I get home. But what that communicates is exactly the opposite. It's like, dad, you're not present. Dad, we need you right now. We need to have conversation with you. We want to talk. We want to spend time with you. But you are not available. So that's why providing is important, but it's not enough, Grant. Yeah. And the family doesn't just need what you bring to the table, but they need us as dads, as men, to be present. And I think that's where the challenge comes in, because life has so many asks of us. And then what's so unfair is that life asks us at work so much that our families get what's left. And there's not always a lot left. And that's not God's order or priority for us, where our best should actually be saved for our families. But you know, life is just has worked out and has evolved into such a massive race and chase that you have to make things work. And I mean, as a man, I understand that, but it's a challenge. I must admit.
It's so true. I think just to summarize, maybe just for our podcast, is that we come home physically tired. We come home mentally drained, and we emotionally become unavailable, because that's the effect. So I know what we all do is we go and plonk ourselves there on the couch and, you know, just zone out, watch TV, we're on our phones. And so that is how the disengagement happens.
It is so true. And this is where Proverbs 4:23 comes in, and it says, above all else, guard your heart, because it is the wellspring of life. And if our hearts are disconnected, our presence will not carry weight. And that's so true. And where does our connection first start? It's with God. And then when we take that connection that we constantly want to have and try and have with God during the day, we need to just, I don't know, I have to intentionally go back home and just go, okay, God, help me here to just stay connected with you, so that when I get home, what I radiate and what I bring to the table, what I bring home, is not my frustration or my emotion or my irritability or agitation, but your presence, your love, because that's what they need. And sometimes when I don't do that, I don't carry weight. I don't get the respect even from my family, or the love from my family as I would want, because I'm not loving them in the way that God has called me to do that. And that's very convicting for me. But it's something that's a process, and that's at where Holy Spirit's at work in my life, for example. But that's a very big thing. And I just realized I have to guard my heart. And I'm asking God, where do I need to guard? What do I need to do? Because the enemy is always out there to try and ankle tap me, or, you know, get me out of position, so that I'm rattled, and when I get home, the anxiety and stress levels are so high. And it's actually, when I sit here and I think about it, I think, oh, what nonsense, you know, why do I allow that? You know, it's so unnecessary. But then I come back to the word, and it says, oh, but you haven't got it. So I've got a job to do, not just for myself, but for my family's sake.
For me, I want to be honest about that, because that takes energy.
It does, right?
And that's the energy we need, and we're going to get that from God. But when we are in the moment, you know, what should we do? And so for me, it is that active decision we have to make, and we regularly talk about it, of listening when we are tired. Just pausing in the moment and just realizing, and I think this brings me back to what our conversation is about, is you have to have God's presence so that you can hear. And if it doesn't happen internally, we're just going to make, well, it looks like we're listening, but we're not really listening.
Mm.
So this conversation for me is not about masking or faking your ability to listen, but really trusting God for the energy to listen, to engage even though you feel empty. And that is to be honest as well. Say, well, just give me 10 minutes. That's just tired right now, but I'm going to listen to you. Just give me 10 minutes. And then being intentional in your communication and your engagement. It shouldn't just be a default button that we just flick on and it's a mask. That's not truth.
Yeah.
That's not a real relationship with one another. And so then we're leading out of a fake space.
Yeah.
And that's what God doesn't want for us, is to be real on the one side, but to then make the decision to engage and getting the energy from Him.
Yeah. So Grant, let me ask you, what is being present practically look like for us as men, or supposed to be, you know? I mean, there's we can say a lot of wonderful things, and I mean, we are spirit, soul, and body, but then there's physical things. Now, I call it the, you know, the non-verbal communication that you give. But what is those practical things that you need to do as a man to be present?
Yeah, that's a very good question, because it is just a practical thing. It is making eye contact. You know, if I have this conversation, and I'm glad about our new setup here, because I can actually chat to you and look in the eye. I think eye contact is like super important. It's a way of communication. But if my phone lies here and I'm totally engaged with my phone more than I am in the conversation, that's going to be a problem. And so putting your phone down, putting your phone away.
Struggle.
It is a struggle. It's real. And then asking questions, asking real questions. And that will also develop over time, but ask real questions.
Can I jump in and ask a question, Grant? I've got boys, you've got boys, and I mean, maybe a lot of the other men have got different, you know, boy or girls.
Setups, yeah.
But what are real questions? Because, you know, we all have these generic questions we ask. How was your day? What was cool, what was not cool, but what is a more engaging way that you normally use? Or I mean, I'm just asking the question.
Yeah, I think nothing wrong with asking how was your day, but can you engage beyond the point?
Yes.
I think that's the issue.
There we go.
So when you're not present, you're not going to engage.
Yeah.
You're not going to say, okay, so you say it went well, where, how, what really happened? Or sometimes when we ask that question and we're covering, we know we're covering. I think the conversation for us here today is more not be very practical, but it's actually confrontational. What we are talking about is we are confronting one another on being on covering up for our tiredness. And going away from this conversation, just saying, okay, no, you know, I've asked out, going, and that's it. So it is delving deeper. It is delving deeper.
Sure.
It gets to my other point of being emotionally available. But that also takes energy. It's going to take work. Being emotionally available. You can't be emotionally available if you're cut off from your reality. And you might be dealing with trauma in your life. You might be dealing with pressure in your life. And so then we can be practical about it, but let's be practical about dealing with the stuff in your life that you need to deal with.
Yeah.
let's be a man about that.
Yeah.
And saying, I need to deal with my nonsense.
Yeah.
Because I'm bringing it into my home.
That's true.
Bringing it into this conversation.
Yes.
And let's pause for a moment and step out of the situation that this goes and, you know, there's some stuff he needs to deal with.
Yeah.
You can't be engaging, you can't be present if you're not dealing with your nonsense.
Sure.
And then practically giving attention and not giving the impression that you are disconnected. I think that takes leadership.
Mm-hmm.
That goes beyond dealing with your nonsense. Sometimes your nonsense is that there isn't a will to give attention, to be so self-focused that it's all about the me and I, and it's not about my family.
Yeah.
So you have to give attention and just not suppress. You're going to deal with whatever God's showing you to deal with, but you are making a choice.
And it's true, Graham, because it brings us to our next section here, where we continue to go about being present, because you just said it. It's about attention, and you can spend hours at home but still be absent.
Yeah,
you know, I sometimes can be at home, and you know, I look at my household, and everybody is on a mobile device somewhere, and I'm sitting behind the sim, you know, where I switch off.
Mm.
But then I stop because I realize I just want to be with my family now, because I feel convicted.
Mm.
And I would switch it off, and I would go back and I would see what are the boys watching. I would get them together and say, let's watch Fails together. You know, obviously laughing at other people falling or making mistakes.
Which is always a good thing.
It's mean. But I mean, that just, it's engaging, you know. And I don't want to be absent, because I think that's those precious times that the boys or my children enjoy with me. But I don't always find the balance always correctly, and it's still a struggle. But I think the more intentional I get with it, the more I can be more present instead of absent.
Oh yes. Yes. I've got a scripture here, Colossians 3, verse 19. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them. I think harshness often comes from disconnection and stress.
Sure.
So, you know, I think that's something that I just want to bring into this conversation is that we have the scripture, and we've got some stuff that we need to deal with. That flows into a space where sometimes the reason for this connection is what we carry and the weight we carry. We know that. And so the rest of our families.
Mm.
And harshness talks about me not recognizing the space that someone else also has to walk into.
Mm.
And just recognizing that everyone in my family is maybe going through something. It's not just me.
Mm.
And that also causes a disconnection.
Yeah, I think just to add on to that before I get to another scripture, I think we talk a lot about our children now, but I think it's so important for our wives as well. You know, I think sometimes, you know, we talk about those practical things and attention. Like, I know my wife is a quality time person. So the eyes must be here. You know, you need to look and you need to listen. Okay. I mean, I'll give you a very funny example. I told you this. She asked me to pray one morning, and she spoke about something about her dad. And I was praying, and as I was praying for her dad, I said, Lord Jesus, I pray for her dad and Mount Fuji. She looks at me, she goes, where did Mount Fuji come into the picture? Because I was half asleep. I wasn't giving my attention. And it obviously did not go down very, very well with her.
Yeah, when you shared it with me, I laughed so much, but that's real.
It's real, because I realize I'm so tired, but I also realize that I've been absent in a certain sense. I haven't been in that conversation connected with her. And so, you know, not just for children, but I think this all applies to our marriages as well. So, you know, Psalms 127 verse 3 says, you know, and fathers, this is for dads, you know, children are a heritage from the Lord. They're not interruptions. They are your assignment. Must be honest, sometimes they do feel like an interruption, but because they're busy and they are they need things. They can't live life on their own yet, like we are as adults. And so, you know, our assignment is to say, okay, Lord, you know, grace me here because I now need to lead them and I need to show them where are the boundaries here so that they no longer become an interruption, but that they know, hey, you can't just walk in now into the room, or you can't walk into the space now. Mom and me are busy discussing something very important.
Yeah, I think we as men need to ask ourselves a few questions, and we need to constantly keep it in front of us and our families. But it's an internal question that we need to ask that addresses all of this. Do my kids feel known by me? When you ask yourself that question, you will immediately know where the disconnection lies. It just goes to the heart. Does my wife feel seen? And you will immediately know how much time have you spent or not spent in, as you call it, close eye contact.
Not praying to me on Fuji.
Not praying to me on Fuji. And then, which is difficult for us as men, is are we emotionally available or just physically there?
Yeah.
Are we just a meat box walking around in the house? Or is there any type of connection?
I think, and yes, the truth, you know, you can't lead people who you're not present with.
No, you can't.
You know, and if that's why I think we're, myself and my wife has made an intentional decision that when it's lunchtime, we sit, there's no kids around, they're at school, we sit down and we have lunch together where it's just 50 minutes of just having a conversation, hearing how we are. And it's something that we've brought in, and it's helped a lot because it helped me to be a bit more present, and it's helped me to be more disciplined in terms of putting my phone away or whatever and just focusing on her so that she feels seen in those moments. But it can't just be that either. It's a continuous feel seen type of thing. That's what I have to give from my side as a husband, as a man. And if I don't do that, I realize that, you know, in sport we always if a team is in shambles, so we'll take the All Blacks for example. Recently they obviously changed coach, but you always see the media said that the first question they ask when things go wrong, has the coach lost the dressing room? In order that has he lost their respect because he's not present, he's not leading. And so that's important. Do you have your family with you? Have you lost them because you're not leading and being present?
So we've spoken about physical being present, but let's talk about spiritual leadership.
Yeah.
Because we can be present and lead our family as well, but what do we lead them into? What is our responsibility as Christians?
Yeah.
And so when we ask that question, I think a lot of us get it wrong. Either because we become passive, and passivity for us as men is, my wife is just better at this. Let her do this. And if it's just one or two things, it's okay, but it will spread.
Yeah.
And then our whole lives at home becomes one big passive gap. And later on, you won't feel that you are worth anything. And that's a whole different podcast. And the second part is we become controlling. We can just say, well, I'm going to do everything, and I'm going to make people feel worthless in this process. And that's also not leadership. That is actually manipulation. And we're just going to say, this is how it needs to be done. I'm going to unpack it, A, B, C, D, E. Everyone's going to do this. It's very militaristic. It's a very old format, I think, that we, even as men, have been modeled into.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's healthy as well. So let's just talk about that a bit.
Well, I think if I just can come back to that before I give what the word says, I think becoming passive, where my wife's better at this, if you begin to let go, it becomes an Ahab and a Jezebel. And I know
that's the spiritual
dynamic, and your wife begins to take control because she's not feeling led, and it becomes a very manipulative situation. But then also, if you become over-controlling, it means you're running such a tight ship that, you know what, it becomes a very unpleasant environment to live within. And you have this perfectionism expectation on your whole family that puts them under pressure, where they almost don't want to be home because of what we expect, because that's the other unhealthy side of being so dominating and domineering over them. Yeah. But Jesus has modeled something totally different for us, Grant, and that's servant leadership. You know, that's where Mark 10:45 says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Mm-hmm. So spiritual leadership is not about control. It's about direction and doing it and leading by example. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe you can show us or tell us what it looks practically.
I think we're practical beings as men. So it's just 4 points, Eddie, that I've jotted down here. Mm. Especially, you take responsibility for the spiritual atmosphere, and you can't take spiritual responsibility for the atmosphere if you are not in the correct spot with Jesus. Mm. So if you do it out of dead works, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
If you just open up the Bible every evening and saying, "What's going to ice hot steam?" So you know, and just open up that big Bible, and that's the reference that a lot of us have.
The Kinderbible.
When we say take responsibility, it's a historical thing within our culture.
Yeah.
And we should get away from that as well.
Mm.
So we should take out of the life that's within us responsibility of the spiritual environment and really hear God. Mm. Then to initiate prayer out of that space and to lead by example and not pressure, we spoke about that, is becoming controlling. Versus your example, it's out of the heart of Jesus for your family.
So true.
And then to create space for God in the home, wherever you can create space, whenever you see something is pulling away from what God's heart is, that's how you create space.
Yeah.
Space is showing up in the resistance, not in we bringing God because we think we need to bring God into the situation. We'll see where there's areas of resistance. Just bringing God in there, and once again, through servitude, not by control.
Yeah.
There's certain things we have to say, this is the holy nope in your life, this is no, but it's mostly creating the atmosphere with God. God's presence can dwell.
And I think there's very practical ways to lead without that passivity or control, Grant. And I think I want to just explain it. I think, first of all, this is for all married and single men, is you cannot lead your home spiritually if you're not walking with God. Mm. 1 Timothy 4:16 says, watch your life and the doctrine closely.
Yeah, amen. I say keep it simple.
Yeah.
Spiritual leadership is not about the long prayers and sermons you give at home. It's short prayers. It's sharing short scriptures where you can share. And asking questions.
Mm.
I think that's my key, is just asking what's happening. What do you think about God? What do you feel is precious in your life that God can assist you with?
Yeah. And then obviously invite, don't force, create opportunities, that doesn't demand, certain reactions. And then obviously be consistent.
Absolutely.
And not perfect, because small, consistent actions builds a culture and home, and it also builds a trust. It's a follow-through mechanism. And then, as you said, it creates a safe space. It should be safe. I think a lot of the times we think, why do our family or our kids lash out at home, but they're so well-behaved in front of other people? It's because they feel safe at home. They can be themselves. That's where that discipleship can take place, because it's safe.
Yeah.
And then also because that's where we can love. That's where we can be honest and where we can share things and know that it's not going to go beyond that space. So And that's where our spiritual growth should thrive, is at home. And why the family unit is incredibly important.
Yeah, it's just so important. Ephesians 6 verse 4 talks about that point, is do not provoke your children and bring them up in the ways of the Lord. And so that brings a certain tone into the household and our approach to all the difficult questions and the pressures of life matters.
Yes. So Grant, you know, we've been talking a lot about presence and leadership and, you know, just a quote here that presence builds connection and leadership provides direction. And a godly man, you know, does both. He shows up and he steps up. But let's close this, because I think we've said a lot. But Grant, how do we win?
I'm just going to say, let's not lead without God's presence. Let's not be distant in that.
Mm.
And let's build our relationship with the Father strong.
Mm.
I just know that if we walk with Jesus, if we're intentional in our relationship with Him, we cannot, I want to use the word go wrong, because we want to equate things to go right and wrong, but if we want to take it that granular, if we serve Him with our whole heart and love them with God's love, then everything will come together.
Yeah, and I think, you know, here's our challenge for all of us as men, is am I truly present? You know, am I leading spiritually or am I avoiding it? And then to take it one step at a time is, I know this is for me. I need to put down my phone. I need to start praying more with my family, you know, more intentionally. And also just start a simple conversation to engage. Because it's family grant. It's lifelong connections, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Because success in life means nothing if you lose that connection at home.
Yeah, and I think this is why in society we have so much things going wrong, is because the family unit isn't well governed. And I think this is just a call for us as men to just stand up and show up within our families and lead and be the father that God's called us to be and be the husband that we need to be. But there's also a process involved where we know we do make mistakes.
Yeah.
And I think you said it earlier, that humility goes a long way.
It does.
And I think if we lead humbly and love with that servant leadership, we'll see the change that God wants to bring in our households.
Absolutely. Maybe Eddie, if you can pray for us and just end it off.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a call here to rise up as men.
Yeah.
But we can't do it without God and one another.
That's true. Yeah, Father God, I thank you today that we can have this conversation. And thank you, Lord, that there's such a call on our lives as men to lead our families, our wives, our children. And I pray for your grace, Father. I pray for all of us men that struggle with being present, that you will help us to be present. I pray we'll start with being in your presence. I pray, Father, that you will also help us to recognize and give us insight and foresight into what's happening in our families, where we will take up our authority and lead where we are required to lead. And I pray, Father, that we will be gentle, loving, but fiercely contending for your kingdom in our families, Father, so that what we represent looks like, smells like your kingdom, Father. It looks like what family is supposed to be. And yes, we know we're not perfect, but we want to try our best. So I pray for a lot of grace for all of us as men to get the small things right, Father. And I pray that you'll be with every man that has that desire today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So thank you for this chat, Grant. Appreciate it. I think it's very insightful. And we'll see you at the next one.
Thanks, Eddie.
Grant.